be taking our reading from tonight. And I know sometimes on Wednesday night we kind of slow down a little bit, but it's just a good time to maybe to do some, if nothing else, do some reading that maybe we won't read in any other time. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we know that Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And, you know, Corinth kind of at times was his little troublemaker. You know, he kind of had to babysit them a little bit and kind of had to, there was always little stuff coming up in Corinth. And so here in chapter number 3, he's writing a letter to them and he says, And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, as I'm writing you this letter, he said, I really wanted to talk to you spiritually, and I really wanted to get deep in what I wanted to say, but I had to speak carnally, even as unto babes in Christ. And he's saying in verse number 2, he says, I have fed you with milk. He said, I know when you're babes that you need milk. You need, the Bible tells us to desire the sincere milk of the word when we're babes in Christ. But then it also tells us to get on the meat. And Paul is telling them here, he says, look, I've given you the milk. I know you were young in Christ, and I've given you the milk, but you're still carnal. Verse number 2, he says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. He said, because before now, you couldn't chew the meat. You know, just as these newborn babes, they can't handle meat. I mean, you don't give a brand new baby something that they have to chew in order to eat. You give them the milk. And he says, here, I'm giving you milk instead of meat. He said, because before now, you were not able to bear it. But look what he says in the end of verse number 2. He says, neither yet now are you able. It's almost like Paul saying, but you should be able to handle some meat now, and I'm still having to give you milk. I'm still having to give you the milk of the word instead of giving you something that you can chew on, giving you something that's a little deeper in spiritual meaning. He says, because you're carnal. Verse number 3, he says, for ye are yet carnal, for as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? He says, I know that you're still carnal because the way that I know that you're still carnal is because there's divisions among you. There's envying, there's strife, you're going against each other. You know, I think one thing that can tear a church apart worse than anything in the world is when people begin to be jealous of each other in the house of God, when there's divisions among each other in the house of God. I'm glad, as far as I know right now, that there is none of that right now in our church. And if we're not, if we'll remain trying to do our best to follow God's leadership and we'll remain trying to keep our eyes on Him, then we'll not let that stuff in here. But when that stuff begins to get into the church, that's the thing that turns people away from the church, for one thing. Because you know what? They got all the division, they got all the strife, they got all the envy that you want out there in the world. It feels like everybody else in the world, they don't really care that much about you. They want to use you to step on to get on up the ladder right past you, but they don't really care for you that much. And when that stuff begins to happen in the house of God, they're thinking, well, if it's going to be like that here, why don't I just go back out there? And the divisions and strife and envies that don't go in the church. But he says, I know that you're still carnal. You're not spiritual yet. And one thing that shows spiritual immaturity, first of all, in our lives is if we begin to let divisions, envies, and strifes into our life. If we get to the place to where we're always got to look, you know, if you're not careful, we can come into the house of God and have a little chip on your shoulder. And the first time somebody says something to you, it knocks that little chip off and all your feelings are hurt. And as much as we pick and play here, it could happen. I mean, because we carry on a whole lot here. And I love it. I'm not saying anything against it. I'm just saying we carry on, we pick and we play a lot. Kirk asked me just a minute ago, he said something to me and he said, now, last Wednesday when I said that to you, did I make you mad? He said, or did you think I was mad? I said, Kirk, I said, if you ever are mad, I said, start your sentence out, I'm really mad, I need to talk to you about something. I said, because other than that, I don't take you serious. I said, when you say something, I just laugh and go on. I said, so if you're really serious and you're really mad, I said, you need to start your sentence. I am serious, I am mad, I need to talk to you about something. Other than that, I'm going to laugh at you and go on. So misunderstandings can happen. But one thing that will definitely show spiritual immaturity in us is when we begin to look at others and we begin to let divisions come into our church. If we let strife come into our church to where this little group is against this little group, is against this little group, and this little group is better and this little group is doing more. Let's get into that here in just a second. Verse number 4, he says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? He says, look, one of you saying, I'm the way that I am because I'm of Paul. In other words, I was converted under Paul. And this one was saying, well, I'm a little bit better because I was converted under Apollos. So they began to have strife and envy and divisions between them because, oh, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. So I'm better than you and you're better than me because you were converted under one or the other. You know what? How silly is that? How stupid is that? But you know, most of the time when divisions and strife and envy comes into the house of God, it's over something stupid. It's not, look, if we have a division in our church and it's because we're seeing the Word of God different, then that's something worth sitting down and talking about. But 99.9% of the times, the strife, the envy, and divisions that come in the church is over something stupid. It's over, well, I really wanted those lights on and they're off. I really wish that our carpet was red instead of purple. It's over something stupid. And there begins to be divisions. And just like here, he's saying, well, I'm of Paul and you're of Apollos. Look at verse number 5. He said, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The thing that we need to remember is what he tells them right here. He says, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They're only ministers. They're just tools that God used. And in the circumstance that he was talking about here, you're no better because you're of Paul, and you're no better because you're of Apollos. They're both just ministers that God used, because it says Paul and Apollos, they're ministers that he said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The thing that we need to be sure that we understand and that we always know is that all glory goes to God. It don't matter what you do or what I do or what anybody else does, that if anything good happens, that all glory goes to God. He's the only one that's worthy to be lifted up. He's the only one that's worthy of us to praise. He's the only one that is, you know, and I know I've told y'all this before. If you come out the back door and tell me I enjoyed the message, I'm not going to stop and give you a 30-minute sermon about it came from God. Just know that it came from God. If you get anything from the message, I know I have listened to myself preach on Facebook Live. I know it's not because of me. It is because of the Holy Spirit that takes what I say and speaks unto your heart. It's all His glory and it's all what He does. The other day somebody asked me, he says, do y'all have preaching on website? And I said, sure we do. He said, I want to hear it. And he was sitting in my office and he was a plumber and he don't go to church anywhere. And I said, okay, I'll give you a few minutes of preaching if you want a few minutes of preaching. And he was wanting, you know, to kind of poke fun and whatnot. So I flipped it over and I started listening to it. And we listened to about 30 seconds of it. And I said, I'm either going to leave and let you continue listening to it or I'm done. I can't listen to myself. That's awful. I cannot stand that. So he said, well, just cut it off if you don't want to. I think he'd heard enough anyway. But it's not because of anything that I'm doing. It's not because of anything that you're doing, because we can't help it. In each and every one of us, we think that we do more than the next person. And I don't care if you're talking about your job, or if you're talking about at church, or if you're talking about at home. How do you know? Well, Autumn and I, we were talking just today, and a subject came up, and I won't get into the whole subject, but I went and eat lunch with Autumn today because, bless her heart, I don't know how she done it, but she's been married to me for 19 years yesterday. Yesterday was our anniversary. So for our anniversary, she took the girls to softball practice, and I watched Silas play baseball yesterday. That's what we done for our anniversary. So today we went and ate lunch together, and we were talking about a certain subject in our life. And I said, man, I'm just getting stressed out by the process. And she says, what are you getting stressed out about? You ain't done nothing. I said, what are you talking about? You ain't done nothing. I done this, this, and this. You never realize what the other person is doing. You take for granted what the other person is doing. And even in the house of God, even here, you know, I hear people, and I'm not bragging, and y'all know me, I hope, better than that. But people will come up to me all the time and say, I hear you're doing a good work down there at Fellowship. Well, first of all, let's go back to giving God the glory. Second of all, is none of it happens without the whole body involved. I mean, there is so many things that goes on in behind the scenes that none of us know, that we take for granted. We just show up, you know, I used to fix the baseball fields up at St. Paul School when I was over the little booster club up there. And somebody showed up one Saturday morning, and I asked them, I said, hey, next Saturday, could you fix the fields? Could you come out and put the chalk down and get the mounds out and have everything? I can't be here. Can you do it? And he's like, you mean we got to do that? I said, no. I said, the little field fairy comes out on Fridays and does it all. Sure, somebody's got to do it. But, you know, and they had been going to ball games all year, and it was just, oh, how did this happen? But there's a lot of things in our church that we take for granted that are happening behind the scenes. But it's still not about what I'm doing or what you're doing. It's about what God's doing. And God's moving in an amazing way in our church right now. And I'm so just tickled to be part of it. But here he says, I'm a power. He says, I've planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Nothing happens without the Spirit of God here. Nothing happens without God moving. Nothing happens without God giving strength, without God giving the increase. So as you look at verse number 6, I couldn't help but thank you. Somebody asked me Sunday morning, said, what do you think about the crowd that was here? Well, I tried not to look around too much while I was preaching Sunday morning because I'd have been scared to death. But Scotty texted me, I think you said 365 is what was counted here Sunday morning. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. 365 people was in the sanctuary, or between here and the kids, I assume, over in the children's church. And I couldn't look up in the balconies. The balconies were a lot fuller than they usually are, so I stayed with my eyes down here. I know some people say they can't tell it, but I get really nervous when I get up here. So 365 people, and somebody said, man, that's awesome. Well, I tell you what's awesome is that there was a lot of seed planted here Sunday morning. There was a ton of seed planted. And I tell you right now, there was people here that hasn't been in church in a long time. I seen some of them. I mean, I actually picked out their face. There was some people here that hadn't been here in a long time. And the Spirit of God, the choir done an awesome job singing. The special singing was great. I felt like the Lord turned me loose and let me preach for a little while Sunday morning. But that's not what done it. Together as a combined effort, God allowed us to scatter some seed Sunday morning. The seed's been planted. Now we have to be sure that we water that seed with prayer. I know that we're not going to come in contact with each and every one of those people that were here Sunday morning. Maybe we should be. Maybe we should take an effort to think, okay, who was here Sunday that I'd hate used to see, and maybe we should reach out and contact them and let them know, man, it was good to see you and hope you can come back. I think it'd be good if we could do that. But I know even with myself that I would forget half of them. But if we don't make that physical contact, the Bible says here, Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Now look, I know God is ready to do his part. He's ready to give the increase. God's going to give increase. But now that the seed has been planted Sunday morning, I think that we as a church need to just put it on your prayer list for the next couple of weeks. We need to water that with some prayer. We need to spend some time praying and saying, God, I know there was some seed sown. I know there were some families here that haven't been coming for a while. There were some families here. There were some children of people that come here all the time, and they were just tickled to death that their children were them in church. And, you know, the children just came to make mom and dad happy, but what they didn't know is they was all plowed up and ready to receive some seed here Sunday morning. That God just allowed his Holy Spirit to move, and there was some seed planted here. Now, let's not forget to just water that with some prayer. Let's not forget and say, God, we know that seed was planted. We want you to continue to water that. Put a desire, if only five of them. Now, I don't know what we normally run on Sunday mornings. I don't look a whole lot. I look sometimes. I told one of my cousins, he's a pastor out toward Asheville somewhere or another. He asked me, he said, how many do y'all run on Sunday morning? And I said, somewhere between 2 and 250. He said, 2 and 250 or 200 and 250? I said, 200 and 250. He said, I know preachers that'll say between 2 and 250. He said, it could be anywhere in between there. But I said, somewhere around 200 is what we'll normally run on Sunday morning. I don't know. I said, I don't really keep up with it that good. But let's say that we have an average of 200 people. So if there was an extra 165 people here Sunday morning, if just one of them, has a difference made in their life by the seed that was planted, it's well worth every effort that we're going to put into it. It's well worth every prayer that we're going to put into it. If just one of those sons or daughters or moms or dads or brothers or sisters that was here on Sunday that don't ever come to church or that hardly ever come to church, if just one of them feels that seed being watered, and if just one of them allows God to give increase in their life, you know what normally happens is it takes one to set off something in a family. It just takes one to set off a chain reaction in a family. And I think it is very important for us over the next couple of weeks just to make it a special prayer in our heart that, God, we know that seed was planted. We know that you're willing to give the increase, and we just need somebody to go water it. We just need through our prayers for your Holy Spirit to go water it. When they lay down tonight, you know, I wish that when we gave the altar call that people would have just flooded the altar and 10 would have got saved, man, that'd just been awesome. We could have had a hallelujah fit going on. That would have been awesome. But since that's not what happened, we still have no idea what happened in people's hearts all over this congregation on Sunday morning. We have no idea what was going through people's minds. And the thing of it is I want to pray that seed that's been planted, that it is what every night when they lay down. There's some things that I'm kind of stressed out about right now. I got a whole lot of things going through my mind. This morning at 4:20, boom, I sit up in the middle of the bed, pouring sweat. I mean, just what in the world? Couldn't get something off my mind. And my wife makes fun of me because I got my phone and my earphones beside the bed, and I'll pick it up, and I'll put my earphones on, and I'll put something on, and I'll listen to music or preaching or comedians or something to go back to sleep. And she said, "You are crazy." She said, "You are addicted to that stuff." I said, "I don't know." I said, "That's just why I get my mind to release of what I..." But you know what? I don't think it'd be anything better than anybody that's not right with God at 4:20 in the morning for them to sit right straight up in the bed and that'd be what's eating at them. That'd be the only thing they could think of. I think it's important that we water that seed with our prayer. I got to keep going. I didn't mean to stop here that long. Verse number 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God give the increase." God is number one. God deserves all the glory. Verse number 8. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Don't ever think, even though the church may take you for granted, even if your position here is to be a prayer warrior for this church, if your position is here to be the one that's out here and everybody you bump into, hey, come church with us. If your position, whatever you do to be a part of this body, and we all have different gifts and different talents and different uses that God has put us here for, whatever your gift is, whatever God's got you here for, don't take it for granted. Even though that somebody else may take it for granted, don't think that it's not important. Because everything that God has us to do, he says, look right here in verse number 9, "For we are laborers together with God." You know, when someone comes out the door, if they do happen to say, "I enjoyed the message," a lot of times I'll look at them and say, "Well, you must be praying a little extra for me." Because you know what? I fight the same battles that y'all do. I have the same time restraints that y'all do. I'm busy just like all of y'all. And somehow or the other, God still lets my mind settle somehow or other at least twice a week to speak to me and give me something to preach. And sometimes it just amazes me how he speaks to me and then shows me where he wants me to be. So I know that I have a church that is praying for me, that is praying a hedge around me. And even just this week, I bumped into some people and we were talking and I said, you know, I know that I can fall and mess, and I don't ever want to point a finger at someone that has fallen and messed up. I said, I don't ever, because without the grace of God, it can be me next. I know I'm capable. In my flesh, I'm capable of that. And then I told them, but I also hope that if it ever comes that way in my life, that I look at y'all and go, I can't explain to you why, but I got to go. So that I don't hurt the church. I don't ever want to hurt the church. But I feel like right now that my church is praying a hedge around me. They're praying protection around me. And there's things that really should get to me that I'm not having any trouble with right now. I'm just going right through them. The stress, that's, even though I may sit up in the middle of the night and pour sweat and everything else, hey, just a few minutes of, sometimes it's Jeff Foxworthy. Just a few minutes of Jeff Foxworthy will put me right back to sleep. Don't talk about my preaching while I'm up here. I see you, honey. Verse number 10. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." You know, let's read verse number 11 before I get caught up here. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ has got to be the foundation for everything that we do. We are co-builders together. And as long as we're building on Jesus Christ, that has got to be the foundation. It can't be for this church to be in a great financial position. It can't be so that we can tell people we had 500 people here. Hey, 500 people to me means there was 500 souls here that had the possibility of getting anything right with God that they needed to get right with God. Having 1,000 people here, that just means to me that there was 1,000 people here that were capable of hearing the voice of God through his Holy Spirit and getting things right with God. And that's wonderful. But I'd rather have 50 that are sincere with God, that are listening to God, that are trying to walk with God, than to have 10,000 that are just floating out here just every which way. And I know you say, well, preacher, what do you mean? That 50 will bring God more glory and will point more people to the cross than 10,000 out here just doing whatever. But we're co-laborers together. And the foundation is for sure. But you know that it's also important on how we build. Some people say, well, as long as you get the foundation right, then the way that you build don't make any difference. Well, I would strongly disagree with that. You ask Danny. Danny, he's a log home restorer. That's his specialty. And you can go out here and the best, the home may be built on the best foundation that there's ever been. But it still matters how you build, don't it, Danny? If it didn't, then I could build stuff. But I can't. When I get done, it's all leaning one way and it's leaning another. If I built a birdhouse, I really don't think the bird would go in it. I really don't. They would look and see that was a death trap and they wouldn't go anywhere near it. The way that you build, and I want you to look where he says how we should build. Verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. He gives us six different things here that you can build with. And I want you to look what they said. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Do you know what happens to gold, silver, and precious stones when they're tried by fire? They become more pure. But look, wood, hay, and stubble. Verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now look, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, when they're tried by the fire, they're going to stick. They're going to be more pure. The wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to go away when they're tried by fire. And you know, I think that's where I'm getting to. You know, we can put on rock concerts and draw a big crowd. We can have hot dog suppers and draw a big crowd. We can do all these, and when you do those things, to be able to tell people about Jesus Christ, I'm all for it. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's what we're all built on, then when we're tried by fire, if it's about the lights and the show and the smoke and all that, it's not going to last. But if it's about we're investing our precious stuff, our gold, our silver, and I'm not talking about money, but I'm talking about when we get founded on Jesus Christ and we're building on a solid foundation and we're building with things that count, then when we're tried by fire, we'll stand. And I've never been anywhere yet for any period of time in a church where sooner or later you were not tried by fire. Sooner or later, something didn't come along. And I don't want us to be built on the hoopla. I want us to be built on Jesus Christ and this precious stuff. Verse number 15, I'll be finished here. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Tonight, you say, well, what's the purpose of the message tonight? Hey, the purpose is God's doing amazing things in our church. And he's doing it, and he deserves all the glory. He's worthy of all the praise. But I think there's some building that we can do together. God instructs us to do some building together. And if we'll stick together and we'll build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and it don't matter who does what, as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, and nobody is glory-seeking, and we're giving all the glory to God, I think it is going to be amazing what God does in this place right here. I think it's already amazing what God is doing in this place. When I bump into somebody and they say, where are you pastoring at? I say, well, down at Fellowship. Which Fellowship? Well, down at our app, you know, right there next to home place. Oh. Yeah, that's good church down there. I said, yes, it is. I said, that's my family down there. I said, that's not just my church. That's my family. And you ought to come see what God's doing. Well, I'm hearing some good things. I said, well, quit hearing and come see, check it out. Come see what God's doing. It's amazing what God is doing here. And I just want us to bind together as a family. Don't worry about who's doing what, who's doing more, who's doing less. And even in saying that, when you see somebody that is being overrun with responsibilities, if you can take some of it off of them, take some of it off of them. Help them out. Man, you never know what it happens with when you go by and say, hey, I know you're doing a lot. Let me help you a little bit. Man, you'll take a load off of somebody. But if we'll invest in the right things and be founded on Jesus Christ, it's going to be amazing how much God can increase. Not how much we can increase, but how much God is going to increase right here. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I know that I'm nothing, God, and why you allow me to even come in here and stand and try to teach your word. I don't understand, God, but I just want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had to read your word. And God, I pray, dear Father, dear Lord, for the ones that were here Sunday, and maybe some of them left, God, with a need in their heart. God, I pray that you'll just continue to speak to their heart. God, I pray that, dear Lord, as we as a body of believers sowed some seed on Sunday morning, God, I pray that you'll water that. I pray that you'll allow us to bump into them. I pray that when we do, that you'll help us to have the strength and the courage, to God, to speak up. And God, I pray that you'll just help us to water, that you may give increase. And God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll just continue to bless our church. Help us to give you glory. It's not about me and it's not about anyone else, but it's all about you. And just help us always to give you glory and to point others to the cross. God, we ask you to touch the prayer requests as made known at the beginning of the service tonight. God, may you just move in each and every one of those in the way that you would. God, thank you for my fellowship family. There's nowhere else in the world I'd rather be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.